the birthday of Yeshua. Now, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles that we just went through a few weeks ago, as I told you, as we talked about, as we saw through the Scriptures, was the most joyful of all of the seven feasts of the Lord, the Moedim that the Lord established, His appointed times. And remember, as we talked about, the Scriptures say in Deuteronomy 16:14 that we are to be joyful at your feast, at this Feast of Tabernacles, at Sukkot. And it says, for the Lord your God will bless you. And it goes on to say, and your joy will be complete. So it promises us that He will bless us, that we'll be full of joy, our joy will be full and complete. And it also says in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40, that we are to rejoice before the Lord our God. I had also shared that according to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38, that Solomon, Shlomo, had completed the Bet Hamikdash, the temple, on what's known as the 8th Hebrew month of Chazven. But in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, it tells us that he waited a whole 11 months after the temple was already built and just sitting there. Waited 11 months later in order to dedicate the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, on the Feast of Tabernacles, because he wanted to dedicate it on the most joyful time of the year. And why am I talking about all this joy? Because at this most joyful time of the year, I believe something else took place. This speaks of great joy, glad tidings. And with this joyful thought upon our minds, everyone have joyful thoughts on your minds? Wonderful. I want to present to you a teaching. You may say it's a theory or a hypothesis or a premise, but I believe absolutely that this is true. With all my heart, I believe it. And I believe also that there's substantial evidence, both scriptural evidence and also extra-biblical other writings to back up this claim. And what is it that I'm claiming today? No, I'm not claiming that I'm the Messiah. No, I'm not crazy. But I want to claim, and I want to tell you that I believe that the Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy One, blessed be He, chose Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the most joyful time of the year to birth, to bring about the birth of Yeshua, the Messiah, the light of the world, into this world. Amen. So, with this thought in mind, let me take a little drink here. With this thought in mind, we really should be singing this song this way. Away in a sukkah, no crib for his bed, the little Messiah Yeshua laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, Adonai Yeshua asleep on the hay. Now let me tell you this. It says here, the stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, because it was a sukkah that he was born in. And remember, I shared that the sukkah, the top has to be open and you have to be able to see the stars. So the stars were looking down upon the Messiah. Even this song, which wasn't written in that manner, even speaks of that, looking that the stars could look down and see the Messiah, which is one of the requirements of a sukkah. And of course, the sukkah that you saw, that we built, that we had outside, that we marched around and shouted and had a great time, was used during the celebration of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the stars could be seen through the thatching above the sukkah. Now, amazingly, this theory, if you call it a theory, or premise, hypothesis, whatever you want to call it, again, I believe it's true, and you're going to see some amazing things. But amazingly, this theory is not even a recent theory, a recent thought. Because, according to John Lightfoot, who was an English biblical scholar and also a theologian, he wrote commentary on the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant Scripture. He lived between the years 1602 to 1675, before this country even existed. He wrote on his commentary, dealing with the book of Matthew and Luke, whatever, he wrote that Yeshua was born in the Hebrew month of Tishri, which is a month of Sukkot, in 5 BC. He said during the Feast of Tabernacles, he was born. And he goes on to say, which indeed was typical of the Messiah's incarnation. And then it may reasonably be thought that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Quoting John 1:14. He wrote this in detail 350 some years ago, these things. So you see, I'm not the only one, and there's many who believe this. But listen, not to burst anyone's bubble here, but December 25th, although traditionally celebrated as the date of the birth of Yeshua the Messiah, is not when he was born.
Right.
So if you're out there saying, "What? I believe this all my life," there is absolutely no scriptural evidence of that. Or is there any extra biblical evidence to back up that claim that he was born on December 25th? Zero evidence. But there's a tremendous amount of evidence, both scriptural and extra biblical, that he was born on Sukkot. And we're going to see that. Now, the early church fathers adopted this date of December 25th as a compromise, because there were a lot of pagans, people from other nations, Gentile pagans, who were coming into this faith, starting to believe that Yeshua really was the Messiah. And as these pagans were coming into the faith, they were bringing in their traditions and their beliefs and all the things that they were taught in their pagan lifestyles. They were bringing these things with them into this newfound faith. So the early church decided to adopt this day as a compromise, because December 25th was commemorated as the winter solstice, a time of celebration, welcoming back the sun, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N, after the shortest daylight day of the year. December 21st to 25th is the shortest daylight. I mean, sun comes up in the morning late, and it sets late. You don't have that much sunlight during the day. And they were celebrating, welcoming back the sun after the shortest day of the year. But December 25th, and this is not my opinion, this is fact, is of pagan origin. And there is no place in the life of true believers to be celebrating December 25th or believing that that was the birth date of Messiah. Now, there's a lot of nice things that take place on December 25th. Decorations everywhere, and and joy to the world and all that stuff. But it's all become very commercialized. And it's people have become obsessed with receiving gifts and giving gifts and all the commercialism and all the other stuff from the Santa Clauses and all these things that have nothing to do with the birth of the Messiah at all. And by gosh, why are we giving each other presents when it's his birthday anyway? Right? Now, let me tell you this. When it's your birthday, if you want to give me gifts, that's fine. You know, let's do it, okay? In fact, today, is it today? Today is Martha's birthday right here. But Martha, what did you get me for your birthday? Okay. But I want us to venture now into the Word of God to seek the truth about Yeshua's birth. Okay? Now, at the time of Yeshua's birth in Bethlehem, which is Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And remember, Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. Okay. There were two great light celebrations happening nearby when he was born. One is listed in the book of Luke, chapter 2. And the other is written in the Mishnah, which is a part of what's known as the Talmud. And the Talmud is divided into the Mishnah and the Gemara. These are commentaries on the scriptures, and then commentaries on the commentaries written by the rabbis to explain and to give understanding to various things and scriptures and the Moedim, God's appointed times, and all of these things. It explains about Sukkot and all the feasts, all these things. So in Luke 2 and in the Mishnah, it mentions about these two great light celebrations taking place. That night of Yeshua's birth in Bethlehem, the Kohanim, the priests, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, in Jerusalem, were beginning to hold their special menorah lighting ceremony to illuminate the temple for the first night of Sukkot. Remember I mentioned during the Feast of Tabernacles, they light these giant menorahs, and it illuminates not only the temple, but all of Jerusalem. These four enormous menorahs, they were 75 feet tall, 7.5 stories tall. They were gold menorahs, and they were set up in what's known as the Court of the Women. And each of these branches, the menorah has 7 branches, and each branch there was a bowl of oil, and each one of these bowls held 7 gallons of oil. You know how much 7 gallons is? That's a lot.
Huge.
And this huge menorah had 7 gallons in each of the bowls on the 7 branches. So that 7 times 7, there were 49, almost 50 gallons. That's a drum. You know, 50-gallon drum? 50-gallon drum was lit up on 4 different menorahs. And that light was so brilliant, this light ceremony, that all of the temple, all of Jerusalem was lit up. But not only that, all the pilgrims, we're not talking about Turkey and pilgrims, but all those who were on pilgrimage, coming from all over Israel and other areas, they were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and they had torches in their hand as they were marching on the roads and on the fairways and the streets, marching to Jerusalem, lighting up all the roads and the avenues and the byways, and the whole area was just a brilliant light. And the Mishnah, the commentary on the scriptures, speak about that taking place. And it's also said that the Kohanim, the priests, used their worn-out priestly garments for the candle wicks for these menorahs. And the light from the special menorah lighting ceremony was so great that it could be seen all for miles upon miles, because Jerusalem is a city on a hill. And it was like a beacon of shining glory, the radiance of God that was lighting up the entire Jerusalem area. And it could be seen for miles upon miles and miles. It was the greatest light show of the earth because it was the beginning of Sukkot, which was the most joyful time of the year in the biblical calendar. And God had commanded his people to rejoice before him for 7 days. Likewise, there was another great light show taking place. It's spoken about in Luke chapter 2. And it was taking place in the fields of Bethlehem. Now, during those days, it was 5 miles away, or a 5 mile walk. Of course, Bethlehem is adjacent to Jerusalem now because it's all grown together. And there was another light show taking place to announce something special, to announce the birth. God was announcing the birth of his son, Yeshua, into the world. And we read these words. If you have your scriptures with you, who brought your Bibles with you today? Okay. Don't leave home without it.
Amen.
We read in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 through verse 14, these words. Luke 2, verse 8 through 14. In the countryside nearby were some shepherds, spending the night in the fields, guarding their flocks, when an angel of Adonai appeared to them, and the Shekhinah, the glory of Adonai, shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I am here announcing to you good news that will bring you great joy." Right here is a little, everyone, this is a little clue here. Great joy, because Sukkot is the time of great joy. This is the time of our rejoicing. It's the time of great joy. And what is that word, Bob? It says, time of our rejoicing, simchatenu, right, in the song? Come on, Bob, worship leader. Okay. So this was a time of great joy, or you can say Sukkot, to all people. And it goes on to say, this very day in the town of David, there was born for you a deliverer who is the Messiah, the Lord. Here is how you will know. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth. Now listen to this. Some say that the cloth that he was wrapped in was actually the worn out priestly garments. Not only were they used for the wicks, but that he was actually wrapped in the worn out priestly garments, establishing him as a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, even as in birth. And it says, lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly, along with the angel, there was a vast army from heaven praising God, saying, in the highest heaven, glory to God, and on earth, shalom, or peace among people of good will. This great celebration here was happening on the Feast of Sukkot, the great time, that great time of rejoicing for God's people. So these two great light ceremonies, the Star of Bethlehem, it was a full moon. Remember, Sukkot is a full harvest moon. The bright full moon illuminating the menorahs in Jerusalem, illuminating the temple. The star that was following over the Messiah, illuminating all on the greatest time of the year, the greatest light show, all these things together, God was showing forth that He had sent His light into this world. Thank you, Lord. Now, as a side note, thank you, Lord. As a side note, Luke says that the shepherds were in the field that night watching over their flocks. However, in Bethlehem, in December, it would have been too cold. It would have been actually freezing. Jerusalem in December, people think of Israel as hot desert, but Jerusalem is high. It's on a mountain. It gets very cold in December, freezing. In fact, I remember a couple years ago, they had a major snowstorm in Jerusalem. I have pictures of it. The whole place was covered in snow. However, in Bethlehem, in December, it would have been far too cold. It would have been freezing. And in December, the flocks, the herds, they're not out in the fields. They're actually all penned up and corralled up during this time of the year, in December, to keep warm and to snug with one another, to snuggle up. So that gives us a clue that it was not December if they were out in the fields. However, let's come back to the story here, to the time before Yeshua was even born. And let's carefully look at the events which occurred even months prior to Messiah Yeshua's birth that will give us some more information and more details as to the truth of Sukkot being His real birthday. Now we read in the book of Luke, and this is actually in chapter 1 we'll see, about a man named Zechariah. And it says that Zechariah was a Levitical priest. He was a Kohen. And he was assigned to the Beit HaMikdash. He was assigned to the temple in Jerusalem. And we see here that the angel Gabriel, comes to him and announces that his wife Elisheva, or Elizabeth, is going to have a special baby. And the scriptures say that he is of the Levitical priestly division or order called Abijah or Abijah. It says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and verses 18 through 20. He was from this division or this order of priesthood, the order of Abijah. Luke 1, 5 says this, "In the days of Herod, who was the king of Yehuda, there was a Kohen, a priest, named Zechariah." Zechariah. That's how you really say his name. "Who belonged to the Abijah division. His wife was a descendant of Aharon, of Aaron, and her name was Elisheva." Now you may have read this portion 25,000 times, and you didn't pick up on anything here. But this little bit of information here, which may seem insignificant, is super, very important for determining when the birth month of Yeshua is. Now, we got to go back now to the first covenant of Scripture. We have to go back to 1 Chronicles, which maybe some of you never even read 1 Chronicles before. Chapter 24 and verses 3 through 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. This is what it says. David, this is Melech David, King David, together with Zadok, who was the priest, from the descendants of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, or Abimelech, from the descendants of Ithamar, arranged them, the priesthood, in divisions, in a certain order for service. And it says here, going on, there were 16 divisions of the descendant of Eleazar, headed by the clan leaders. And then there were 8 divisions of the descendants of Itamar, according to their clans. And they were assigned, what? They were assigned periods of service in the temple by lot. And there were 24 in all. Now, I added the 24. But if you count, we got any math majors in here? Anybody who's good with math? How much is 16 and 8?
24.
Very good. There were 24 divisions. Each one of these divisions were required to spend 2 weeks in service at the temple during the year to spread out the duties so that no one group would spend all their time there. They would have to take care of their families. They'd have to take care of their fields, their crops, their normal work. So only twice a year would they have to serve in the temple. So they actually served twice. Okay? First, the 24 in order that it lists in the scriptures in 1 Chronicles. And then they get done. And then they'd also, during special holiday seasons and also in the second part of the year, they'd serve a second time. 24 in all. Now the Aviah division, this division here that Zechariah served in, if you look at when the service would begin. Now the Jewish calendar actually starts in what month? The biblical calendar. The biblical calendar is the month of Nisan, when the children of Israel left Egypt. It says in the scriptures, in the 12th chapter of Exodus, this shall be your month, your first month, when you left Egypt. That's when they start the biblical calendar. So if you look at the first division that it lists there, starting in that month of Nisan, they served their week, and then the next division served their week, and the next division. So this division where Zechariah was in would serve around 10 weeks after the start of the biblical calendar. So they would start in around June or July. Because remember, it's a lunar calendar, it changes. So Zechariah would have been in the temple around this time, June, July. All right? Now when Zechariah was in this inner sanctuary serving the Lord in his service, it says that the angel Gabriel told them that Elisheva, that's his wife, would conceive and bear a son named Yochanan, named John. And this occurred shortly after that announcement by Gabriel, by Gabriel. We read in Luke chapter 1, verses 24 through 25, Luke 1, 24 through 25, it says that following this, Elisheva, his wife, conceived, and she remained 5 months in seclusion, saying, Adonai, the Lord has done this for me. He has shown me favor at this time, so as to remove my public disgrace. She was an old woman and barren. God did a miracle for her. And it says that Elizabeth was thrilled with this good news. She went into seclusion for 5 months. And then we read that 1 month later, this is in verse 26 and 27 of chapter 1 of Luke, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, to Alma, a virgin named Miriam. And Gabriel, the angel, also told her in verse 36, you have a relative. Now God is connecting the pieces here. You have a relative. And he's saying, your relative, Elisheva, who is an old woman. And everyone says she's barren, but she has conceived a son and is now 6 months pregnant. Okay? We're starting to add up some numbers here. Remember? He served in the temple June or July. The angel Gabriel appeared to him shortly after. Elizabeth, his wife, conceives. Now it's 6 months later. Say if it's June, you're talking about July, August, September, October, November. You're around December time now. Okay? So Gabriel comes to her, Miriam, around December and says, you have a relative, Elisheva, who's an old woman. Everyone says she's barren, but she has conceived a son and is now 6 months pregnant. And after the angel Gabriel visited Miriam in Nazareth and gave her the news of her conception with the Messiah, says she immediately went to her aunt. Now it's an aunt, okay? Her aunt Elisheva in Judea, and it says that she stayed with her for 3 months, leaving just before Yochanan, John, was born. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and verse 56, and verse 57, it says this. Luke 1, 39, 56, 57. Without delay, Miriam set out and hurried to the town in the hill country of Yehuda, in Judah, where Zechariah lived, entered into his house, and greeted Elisheva. And it goes on to say that Miriam stayed with Elisheva for about 3 months and then returned home. All right, so she stayed there 3 months. She got there December. She stayed there January, February, about March, and then returned home. The time arrived for Elisheva to have her baby, and she gave birth to a son. Now, if we put this all together, what we've covered now, and this is just the first part of it. Next week you're gonna faint next week. So you better be here next week, and you need to invite people next week, okay? And for those who missed part one, tell them to listen to it on our website. Bob will probably have it up there in the next couple days. If you put all these numbers together, just for what we looked at so far, we see that Yochanan, John, was conceived in June, maybe early July. Mary, became pregnant by the Ruach Elohim, by the Spirit of God, 6 months later, around December time period, probably during Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. And this demonstrated in a very special way that Yeshua is also the light of the world, because Hanukkah is known as the Feast of Lights, the Festival of Lights. However, Hanukkah also means, that root word of Hanukkah means dedicate. It really means the Feast of Dedication. And we see that God so loved the world that He dedicated His one and only Son to die for the redemption of mankind during this feast of Hanukkah. So interestingly, we see that Messiah Yeshua also celebrated this feast of Hanukkah. But if you just look at the numbers, you see that Miriam, his mother, conceived. She became pregnant during the feast of Hanukkah. Interestingly, we see that Yeshua also celebrated this feast, known as the Feast of Dedication, in John chapter 10. And at this Feast of Dedication, Yeshua proclaimed in John chapter 10 and in verse 30 these words. These are the words of Yeshua that He spoke on Hanukkah. Now it's kind of interestingly that the Scriptures would even mention Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, in the New Covenant, in the Brit Chadashah Scriptures, because it was really very minor. It's a very minor feast. All right? It's not like it is today. Hanukkah has been made into the Jewish Christmas today, because we have all the lights shining from all the menorahs. There's even some Jewish people who even have Hanukkah bushes, you know, because, well, all the other people have Hanukkah, you know, Christmas trees. Let us have a Hanukkah bush, you know. And just like all the Christmas presents, oh, So they give presents to all their children during all the 8 days of Hanukkah. There's been a lot of perversion. It's a much bigger feast today. All right? But it was minor back then. And on this very minor feast, which I think is important because I think it also establishes Yeshua was born on this feast of dedication, where he said these words in John 10:30. He said, "I and my Father are one." He was proclaiming that he was God by those words, testifying to his divine origin in his conception, in his birth. It also reinforces Hanukkah as the time of his conception. But now moving 9 months forward from Hanukkah, we see, if you go to December, say December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. September, end of September, early October. What takes place in September, early October? Sukkot. The Feast of Tabernacles, when he would have been born. So we see, just looking at this little bit of evidence here, looking just at the numbers, and just knowing that Zechariah was from that priestly division of Abiyah. Just knowing that one obscure fact and relating it back to First Chronicles for the order that King David set up and the serving of the temple, just from that, it's easily computated, very easily, that we can put Yeshua's birth being in September. And because Sukkot is the most joyful time, we see that he was born at the most joyful time of the year. And by the way, Sukkot is also known as the second Feast of Lights because of the great light ceremony. So you put that together with Hanukkah, known as the Feast of Lights, and then being conceived then and then being born on Sukkot, known as the second Feast of Lights. That gives you further proof and evidence. And it all starts from one little fact, one little obscure thing about Zechariah being from this one priestly division that we can bring Yeshua's birth into September. But this is just the tip, very tippy tip of the iceberg. Because next week you're going to hear some amazing things, more scriptural evidence and a bunch of extra biblical evidence, and also how an eclipse that took place in the sky, an eclipse, proved the day he was born. So that's going to be next week. So hang on. Stay tuned. Come back next week, same time, same channel, and you're going to hear some amazing things. And I recommend that you let people know who did not hear this first part, go to our website. You'll see. In fact, it'll show up on the very first page of the website. You'll see as you scroll down, you're going to see a picture. It's going to look like it's an open sukkah, and you're going to see a baby in there, and you're going to see an angel in there with him and some other things. And when you click on that, it's